You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Can you please tell me a bit about the new campaign AAAP launched yesterday, which calls for benefit payments to be raised to livable levels?
We're wanting to build commitment from MPs moving into the election and ask them to lift benefits to livable levels for everybody. We've been advocating for an increase in levels for years now. So many people from the AAAP space have been talking about their lived experiences, and we believe that they're needed. They're so, so needed.
So the government's own welfare expert advisory group recommended last year that the government immediately raise benefit levels by 20%. We're still yet to see that rise. What initiatives have been implemented that were recommended by the welfare expert advisory group?
They've lifted sanctions for sole mothers. I know that's one of them. And they have increased benefits by $25 and the winter payment, but it's just not enough. We've seen that they can implement individualized benefit without any punitive measures or obligations with the income relief payment. So we're saying, well, if you can do that for these people, you can do it for low-income communities. There's just not the political will or courage to do so.
Yeah, why is it, in your opinion, that governments hesitate to make radical changes to the way that welfare is delivered?
AAAP advocates for a systemic change, and I think what we're calling for directly challenges this idea that we're only valuable when we're working. It just plays into this capitalist narrative that people are only of value when they're doing work that's considered meaningful by the system. What we're saying is that people are deserving and valuable irrespective of what type of work that they contribute.
Sure.
We have a lot of people, that are volunteers and caregiver roles. We have, like, mothers. All of this work is really, really important to our communities and our society, but it's work that isn't actually seen as valuable by the system.
Mm. There's always opponents of welfare reform, and their arguments are often that raising benefit levels to a livable rate disincentivizes working and encourages people to sign on to welfare. What does the actual evidence base say about these arguments?
It says that it's not true. It actually means that, like I mentioned earlier, that presumes that people in low-income communities aren't doing any kind of meaningful work. It also plays into this rhetoric that people in low-income communities are lazy, which is totally not the case. But it also gives people the opportunity to choose meaningful work for themselves instead of being kind of forced into whatever job throws at them.
And we actually did see, like, some pretty radical reforms to welfare over the period of the pandemic. We saw the new payment, which actually paid twice, I think, the job seeker allowance. Yeah, that was paid to workers that lost their job as a result of COVID-19. If government is able to budge in certain circumstances, why does it not in others?
I feel like governments don't prioritize low-income communities. Like you said, we saw during the pandemic that they can respond really quickly, actually, in changing parts of the welfare system. They also operated from a really high trust model. Like, I know family members who called up who lost their jobs during COVID. They called through the WINS and they got it almost immediately, which isn't the case for people who have been struggling on the benefit for years. So, in my opinion and AAAP's opinion, there's no priority for low-income communities. Because if they were, we would have seen changes made years ago.
Do you see this at all as an admission that current benefit levels are not livable?
Totally. I just think that the government, they're playing themselves. They keep trying to say that, oh no, like, we got this amount. They made up all they had all this evidence to say this is the amount. It doesn't mean that, but it's not an admission that current benefits are still, like, are too low. But it totally is.
Importantly, if we delay taking action on benefit levels and keep on deferring this change for years and years, what sort of consequences might we see down the line?
I think it's really important to look at shifting things now. I think COVID was an example for many of us that it really highlighted the gaps that exist within our system, and it brought that into mainstream consciousness. I think low-income communities have always lived in crisis, even before COVID came through. But I think especially now, post-COVID, and even moving into a world where COVID exists, I know that we're looking at high unemployment rates, which means that more people will be moving into the system of requiring support from the government. I think people who have lived on low incomes for a very long time now are starting to, demand justice for these things. And I think that if we don't do anything now, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. I think the changing demographic of our population, seeing that moving forward, there's going to be a lot more brown babies. They're going to make up the majority of our workforce, but currently, many of them live in low-income houses and households. We need to invest in them so that we ensure stability for our future.
One thing that just sort of pops into my head that I'm curious about is we have been relying on this evidence base, I guess, of Western knowledge and Western economic practice and political practice. And you raise an interesting point where you say that New Zealand is a much more diverse place than that. We have an incredibly large Pacific community. We have an indigenous community, Māori community. We have communities that come from Asia and stuff. Are there other models from other parts of the world and like other forms of knowledge that we could actually apply in this circumstance that might actually generate real change that benefits communities which are often neglected in the current system?
Definitely. I think there are parts of our system that provide universal support. And I think like with our education system and with our health system, they're not perfect, but people don't have to pay for those services are really important. We actually have to look at challenging private capital and actually what it means, what people may need in order to survive. I think a model that's based on actually caring for people that honours Papatūānuku, our environment, we really have to prioritise these models moving forward, especially given the climate crisis. Capitalism is a model that is actually, it doesn't work and it's not sustainable. And I think we're starting to see the effects of that.
Heart out. You have a meeting at Papatoetoe Town Hall on 22nd of August, right? You've extended invitations to members of all political parties, I believe, and you're going to have members of the community and people that your organisation works with talking. Can you tell me a bit about what the meeting is going to entail? Can you give us a bit of a preview?
Yeah, of course. So as you mentioned, we're inviting political parties. We're hoping to get as many there as we can. We want to ask them to commit to increasing current benefit levels to livable levels. We're going to have people speaking. We're going to have lots of people from the community come through. We're going to have performances and food. And we actually want to make sure that this is a central focus for the election this year. And so basically it's just like a party and trying to hold MPs to account.
That actually sounds awesome. And like very much geared in with what you want when you go to like a community meeting, right? Like often you go to these things and there's just like rows of like plastic barbecue furniture and stuff, and you sort of sit there and look at some guy up on a podium and you're like, oh yep, some old white dude. And this sounds, it's more of like a fiesta kind of buzz and like people actually coming together and talking around the table, which I think is important.
Yeah, totally important. So we would love to have as many people there as possible. Saturday the 22nd of August at the Papatoetoe Town Hall, 2 till 6pm. So come along to Tautoko Livable Incomes for All.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.